Oh, shit. Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know.
What a brutal loss. The Sacramento Kings played awesome defense. Mm. They played like dogs. They were missing threes tonight. Still look like they're on their way to a huge road win in LA. The first two times these two teams played, the Kings got punked in November. Both times held under 100 points. One time held under 90. Tonight, they were throwing punches. They were taking punches. In fact, looked like all things were going Sacramento's way when they took a 97-98 lead in this game with a minute 48 to go. But the Clippers did not go away. Kawhi Leonard and and-one. A questionable overturned three-point foul that would have sent DeRozan to the line.
Don't get me started, because I will get started.
DeMar taking a bad three, Harden tying the game, and all of a sudden, you head to overtime. And in an overtime session, it was back and forth, but Kawhi Leonard, at the end of the game, ball in his hands, went to work, got the bounce, beat the Kings at the buzzer, 111-110. So the Kings failed to move ahead of the Clippers, and the Clippers get some separation as the Kings fall to 33-30 with a game against the Knicks tomorrow night in Sacramento. Ouch. I'm Deuce Mason. That's Morgan Reagan. This podcast is always presented by our friends at Centivo Vineyards and Winery. We are recording this in downtown San Francisco at the NBC Sports California studios, and man, it hurts. And that's what sucks when you're like a fan of the team. Is like you do a postgame right after, and we were preparing to talk to a postgame guest going, all right, it's a big win. And then you saw it go to overtime. Then you see him lose in heartbreaking fashion at the buzzer. I don't know, like, where are you? It's been a bit now. Like, how are you processing this loss tonight and what transpired late? Like, what is on your mind at this moment?
Ups and downs, because as you know, like, the heartbreaking feeling. And then toward the end of postgame show, I was like, okay, you know what? Processing some of this, I'm feeling good. Deuce put me back down, which totally fine. You're allowed. Your feelings are valid. I'm feeling that down feeling now that we're talking about it again, but I have a feeling as we talk about a lot of the good in tonight's game, I will be very happy with what we witnessed, not only from the battle, but the style of basketball that was mostly being played in this game. Just what hurts the most, it's not how the Kings played. It's not how whatever. It's Kawhi Leonard knocking down a shot at the buzzer. So no other opportunity for the Sacramento Kings to get one more chance to go. It's heartbreaking. That was a heartbreaking loss, and especially because we were in March and every single one of these games are so very important. So very important.
I'm looking back at the play-by-play log. Oof. Mm-hmm. LaVine hits a jumper to make it 97-90 with a minute 48 to go. It felt pretty good at that moment.
Yeah.
Kawhi comes down, takes a bump, throws up really just a shit shot, and it goes in and one.
Yep.
Okay, four-point game. Valanciunas offensive foul. Okay. Zubat's dunk. That pick-and-roll game with him and Harden was just nasty. Kings got carved up in the paint tonight. Then DeRozan. It's 97-95. Kings are up. DeRozan launches a three. There's a foul called. And you're going, okay, well, good. He'll go to the line, knock down three free throws. Kings are back up five. Brian Shaw, the acting head coach tonight, because Ty Lue missed a game with back soreness.
Yeah.
Hope he's okay. Challenges it. Huh? We're watching the replay left and right. And I'm being sensitive to the closeout thing, the high five thing.
Absolutely.
I'm like, okay, high five. Did it impact the release? I've seen angles. I've seen pictures. I've seen video. I'm struggling with this one. And I'm not saying this is the reason the Kings lost, because there's other things that went down tonight. But Morgan Reagan, Did Derrick Jones Jr. not make contact with DeMar DeRozan's arm? Okay.
I want you to do something. All right. This is the basket.
It's a reenactment?
Yes, you're DeMar DeRozan. Okay. It's a reenactment slash answer me this. This is a high five. I mean, after the shot. So shoot, form. This is a high five. This is like coming from, yeah, who does a sideways high five?
Yeah.
Who does a side? There's no such thing. There's no such thing as a sideways high five. And unless there's something I'm missing, because that's what I hate when I like complain about something and then it ends up being like, well, you didn't see this angle. So I'm trying to be cool about it, but I don't think I'm blind. I think I saw what I saw, and I saw the angle of Derrick Jones Jr.'s arms come across DeMar DeRozan's arms. And what I said to Deuce, I said, even if it didn't alter the actual shot, because it was after the shot, right? One, it's still deemed a foul.
And I feel like he was completely done with his release when he got hit. That's how I saw it.
Let's just say it was after the shot. His release was out, whatever. Online, on NBA.com or whatever, that was still deemed a foul. But then here's my other question. So you're trying to tell me all players are allowed to chaotically just run their arms into other players' arms across and we're going to call it a high five? No, that's not.
The league has some inconsistencies with how they call that too. Even with the high fives, they sometimes call a foul. And that's why some coaches are like, we don't even want high fives because there's a propensity to foul the three-point shooter.
Yep.
So I guess my point is watching that replay, and as long as they took like reviewing it, I'm going, is there even enough to overturn this though? It didn't look like it was like, oh, and they call it marginal. I just didn't feel like it was. And so I don't know. Sometimes I wonder if DeMar gets dinged on a play like that because he does sell contact a lot and they're like, yeah, that's marginal. He sold it type thing. But it just felt like such a critical moment in the game. And then, you know, because if you get fouled there, I mean, you have some confidence that DeMar is knocking down all three free throws and you're up five. Sure. Instead, there was no possession, so they went and jumped ball, and the Clippers got the ball after that. Now, they did miss the shot. The Kings got a great rebound, and this is where you don't love what you saw from DeRozan. So, I'm looking back. So that happened. Yeah, a missed three-pointer by Coffey, and then the Kings got the rebound. It bounced around. DeRozan got it. DeRozan takes a three. That was just not a good look. And I always try to caution. I try to challenge myself on my thinking sometimes because just because it was a missed shot doesn't mean it was a bad shot. And DeRozan hit so many awesome shots in this game. He was great in the overtime session. That was one that to me, I went, man, I think you could have gotten a better look. Could you have gotten to your spot? Could you have gotten to your spot and drawn a second defender?
Shot clock. Shot clock was still, I mean, you still had a lot of time.
There was time.
Shot clock. The decision to, again, like you said, with DeMar DeRozan, sometimes it's like a no. Yes. That was just like, it was so quick, and the way it released his hands, the way that it felt like he was just thinking he was open. I believe it was Coffey on him. I think it was. Or was that still Derek?
That might have been Zubats on him. I don't know. Now this is going to irritate me.
Okay.
I don't remember.
Sorry. Whoever it was that was on him in that moment. Either way, it just felt like it was not the best shot to be taken in that moment. And it was a swing play after everything that just kind of went down. So, yeah, it was super frustrating.
So that was an unfortunate one. And then the Clippers get the ball. It's tied by James Harden, who was spectacular in this game. Mm-hmm. And then you go to overtime after Zach LaVine missed a great look. It was a tough shot fall away. It rattles out. We go to the overtime session. And the overtime session was just a fun battle. That I think that was the point of the game where it was just like crazy to see the amount of offense. I mean, it was 14-13 Clippers in the overtime, in the five-minute overtime session.
Wow.
Like everybody was scoring at that point. And it felt like the Clippers just wouldn't miss in the overtime session. I didn't even look at the final numbers to see what they shot in overtime. Let's see. Overtime session. My goodness, dude. Okay, overtime, the Clippers were 5 of 7, 2 of 4 from 3. And the Kings were 4 of 6, 1 of 1 from downtown, 4 of 4 at the free throw line. DeRozan had 10 of the 13 for the Kings in the overtime session.
The 1 of 1 from 3-point land was Zach LaVine's first three
of the game.
He was 1 of 7 from 3-point land, finished with 30 points. Still, obviously, had, pretty efficient game still from the outside.
Yeah. He ends up 12 of 22, yeah. 1 of 7 from 3, 5 of 5 at the line. He had 30 points, 7 rebounds in this game. DeRozan, 31 points, 10 assists, 7 rebounds, was getting to his spots, making massive shots in overtime. We also, okay, you can challenge me on this a little bit here, because now I feel like DeRozan did a lot of great things tonight, and I feel like I'm piling on a little bit here.
Okay, where, what?
How many times does his foot have to be on the fucking three-point line? Like, I'm like, oh, big three. And it's like, actually, it's a two. The one in the corner after Valanciunas got blocked. What a play by Kawhi Leonard. And the ball scrambled. The weird reset of the shot clock. DeRozan in the corner.
You know, I get it.
For three. Oh, no, sorry. His foot was on the line. Killing me.
I think it would really frustrate me with a lot of players, especially a player that was like identified as a 3-point shooter. I was like, you got to get that right. And I would love if DeMar got that right. But at the same time, he's like putting some big points on the board.
Yeah.
Even in those moments, it's the only thing that I was feeling, even when it was a long two, where there's been other moments of his long twos where I'm like, just squeak that foot a little further back. But
he had 8 points in the fourth quarter. Those misses we talked about. LaVine had 8 in the third. How many did DeMar have in the third? He had 4. Okay. But no, I just felt like there were moments in this game. It was like, dude, he's just getting to his spots.
Oh my
and like
God.
Shoots it with so much confidence. Nasty. I thought he made some nice passes tonight. And to see another game where he's got 7 rebounds, yep. I'm like, dude, this is the type of fight you want to see. So tonight hurts because this is what?
7. You said 10 assists too, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
10 assists, 7 rebounds. Yeah. I mean, he was distributing the ball, amazing. Hitting big time shots, but you know, late game execution is what we talk about. And you're like, oh, that shot with 22 seconds to go. Ugh. And then on the other hand, you're like, well, he did get fouled in the three. And if that was an overturn, what's that look like? Are we having a good different conversation here? I think the big thing for tonight is just like the fight. And that's why it's so frustrating, is because they had this game. They played hard. They are showing better signs of being a better defensive team based on the personnel that they've added. It hurts.
That's pretty much it. Because you see this team work so hard tonight against a really good team in the Clippers. Yep. And I'm not ready to call this Kings team a really good team or a good team. They're a good team too, blah, blah. Because I think the sample size that we are seeing them with this roster, they've been beating some bad teams. And by the way, I don't give a shit. A win's a win. I've been super pleased.
Yep.
And I've been pleased with the style that they've been playing. And I was like, okay, how are they going to play when they have this really good defense and the Clippers coming out on them, and they're going to have to defend this team. And they not only like took on that challenge, they looked like they belonged. And now we're seeing that more consistent in this stretch of games, and even in these last two losses against Denver and against the Clippers. And I'm happy with it. I really am. I think it's just really hard tonight. We can still celebrate that good stuff, the style of play and everything. It's just really hard after a heartbreaker like that.
Yeah, it's one of those things you said in the post game. You're like talking about, you know, I feel good about certain things. And I was like, well, let me look at my watch for a second.
Yeah, you
did. Is it November 9th or March 9th? And that's where we're at this point of the season where it's like, all right, it's late in the year. You're fighting to avoid that stupid 9-10 matchup because all of a sudden you have to win twice. And it's like, hey, what's your reward if you win twice? Oklahoma City. Yay. But, you know, like that would hurt. So you want to avoid that. So that's why tonight felt so big. And like the other thing I have to check myself on too is like, all right, the way they've been playing, you just talked about how they've been playing lately. You like how they've been playing.
Sample size.
Yeah. Sabonis has missed how many games here in this stretch? Monks have missed how many games in this stretch? Yep. So they are doing it with two guys that really can orchestrate the offense, push the pace, get them into their stuff. It hurts not to have those guys there. So I appreciate what I'm seeing from this group. And tonight was just a different type of night. You know, we saw a lot more Jake LaRavia tonight. He ends up playing 31 minutes, and it was huge for the Kings because the Clippers guards are big. And I love Keon Ellis. We highlighted him in the pregame show for what he did defensively against De'Aaron Fox. Guy had him in jail. Uh-huh. I mean, he was everywhere defensively. He does struggle against the bigger guards. Like, they just have size on him. And you look at someone like James Harden. James Harden's a big dude.
He's big.
He's got a wagon. He's got some girth.
Okay.
He's thick.
There you go.
And that's a tough matchup. So you had to like pick your poison. It's like, okay, Harden feels like he's got the size advantage here, where Laravia has the size but doesn't have the quickness. The Harden Zubats pick and roll game was just,
it's nasty.
It's tough.
I mean, it's tough for a lot of teams in the NBA. And
wow.
What?
Zubat's at 22-14.
Damn. Yeah. And you think about not only that pick and roll, them in that action. You think about James Harden, his ability to find the open man. I think he's averaging like 8 assists a game or whatever it is. And I thought the Kings, a team that has shown that they can play better and better on that end of the floor together, they have really done a good job of communicating with one another and some of these wins in this stretch and everything as well. And then going against a team that has so many weapons, and you're playing without two of your big weapons. It's something to highlight, feel good about, but at the same time, it's just like in these games, how do you still
find a way?
Find a way.
That's two games now you've had on the road where you feel like you should have won at Denver.
Uh-huh.
And then you should have won tonight.
Yeah.
And it hurts. It really does, because there's so many good things. And there's some nights you watch a game, they win, you're like, oh, God, that they got away with one. Where tonight you felt like they did enough to deserve to win this game. They just didn't get it done.
Well, and how many times in that Denver game were we talking about them just being so locked in? We talked about it on the post-game show. The way that the Kings were locked in coming into this one, in that first quarter, the way that they started this game, they were flying everywhere. They were hands up in the passing lane. You saw Jonas Valanciunas always coming over and help. People were always helping, talking, all the different things. And I think something you had mentioned was like, how do you keep that all game long? And you're exactly right. They did a good job for most of the game, but also it's the Clippers, a good team, making their adjustments with their championship caliber players and making their adjustments to obviously make life more difficult for the Kings, and the Kings were still punching back. Like, there's so many positives that like I'm very happy about, but I'm just so sad.
Shout out to the basketball sickos hanging out with us late on a Sunday night, even though we moved ahead an hour. It still feels weird. And there's a game tomorrow night against the Knicks. The guy I want to talk about too, Keegan Murray. Man, and this is another reason I wanted the Kings to win. Well, duh, no shit you want them to win, Deuce. Mm-hmm. Keegan Murray and his defense tonight, it's just aggressiveness offensively, too, looking for his shot. I thought he did that early, even when he's missing shots. But he played phenomenal defense in this game on Kawhi Leonard and James Harden. He was also doing a little talking, too. That play where he forced a travel on James Harden in the fourth quarter, blocked the shot, too.
Yep.
Dude, he was fired up. What stood out to you about what Keegan was able to do defensively?
Well, his ability to stay in front of those guards, right? Like, just he was keeping his jersey in front. He was moving his feet perfectly. I know he tried taking that charge. I forget who it was on down the street. I think Zubats or whoever it was. And he just came in a little bit too late. The Kings shouldn't have challenged it. They did, whatever. But he was willing to sacrifice his body. He didn't care who was going to be there, whatever. And even on that final play against Kawhi Leonard, Kawhi did a great job of just pushing through with those big-ass shoulders, trying to push through Keegan. And Keegan kept holding his own as much as he could.
The help came over from Valanciunas.
The help came over there and everything. But I think overall, when you look at Keegan Murray tonight, there wasn't just like stretches. It was the entire game that Keegan Murray was playing some really good defense, hands up in the air, all the things you wanted to see from him tonight.
And there was one play in the first quarter in transition where there's ball bouncing all over the place. The Clippers are on the break. Keegan gets back in the play, and Kawhi's got the ball, tries to lower his shoulder, and Keegan took the bump.
Yeah.
Contested the shot, forced a miss. Another time when Kawhi was putting the ball on the floor. Again, Keegan taking the bump. And so forcing like a tough mid-range shot. And I felt like that's what he did a good job of tonight, was like, I never felt like Kawhi Leonard had a ton of easy looks. And that's a huge credit to Keegan for staying engaged. The guy played 48 minutes tonight. Kawhi ends up 17 points on 7 of 19 shooting. He was 1 of 7 from 3 tonight, of course.
What a loser.
It's a game winner, so whatever.
Yeah, yeah. But I think altogether, you know, you think about Keegan's defense. You think about even Keon's defense in the 31 minutes that he was playing out there tonight, still active, up in guys' jerseys. Jake LaRavia, we talked about. So you had that perimeter defense. But I thought the rest of the squad also did a really good job of just keeping that activity going. So you now have more and more guys that are locking in as individuals, but I think it's bleeding into the rest of the team. You know, Zach LaVine is someone that we've talked about his defense early on in the season. I feel like there's been these last couple games where he's sitting down in a stance as well.
Yeah.
He's doing pretty much what he needs to do as a defender out there. And it's just been a very helpful effort from everyone.
Yeah, the team defense looks a lot better. There were moments late in this game where it felt like they could not get a stop, and it's just like, dude, it's just James Harden, you know, controlling the game, so yep. much focus on him. And, you know, they gave up some open looks from three. That was a little frustrating to see, like, the closeouts not being great, like Harden drawing so much attention, sucking in the defense. And,
yeah.
you know, he just makes the right play. And he was awesome in this game.
And another good thing, the rebounding for the Sacramento Kings tonight, the gang rebounding. I mean, how many times that you saw how many Kings jerseys yeah. down there just battling through for the rebounds?
48-38 was a rebounding advantage for Sacramento in this game.
I thought they did such a great job. It wasn't just like an effort of everyone crashing. It was understanding who they needed to put a body on, where the ball was going to go. All right, good defensive play. Let's finish it off with a rebound. There's so many of those moments, and then obviously the bench as well.
Man.
The bench as well in the first, in the first half.
Yeah, we saw some Devin Carter minutes tonight, and Devin looked a little more comfortable out there. I think that was good to see. He had that nasty putback jam. Hit a three.
Knocked down a three. And then his activity out there, you know, that's kind of where I was going even with the...
Yeah.
What did he finish with? And he finished with three rebounds as well, you know, even in the 12 minutes that he played. So that activity from the Kings as a team, like, that's the shit you want to see. That's what you need to see
it's
going
tough.
Forward.
It's because you have to play perfect sometimes. And I think they're just like, Derek Jones Jr. is a problem for the Kings. Like, his athleticism is just, he's so impactful, especially if, like, DeRozan's out there trying to, like, go out and check him. And, you know, Derek Jones Jr. has the length, the size, the athleticism to get by him and finish around the rim. He can step out, hit some threes.
The Clippers were just so physical altogether.
That was the other thing. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
They're third in defensive rating. They're top three in deflections and steals. They are just physical. They do such
super
a good
physical.
Job on the perimeter, so it's hard to get good looks from three because you can't always get into the paint to kick out and get good looks. Sacramento ends up 9 for 34 from downtown this game, 26.5%. Then you got Zubats, who is such great size, still to me like one of the most underrated bigs in the game. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's put up big numbers. He's tough, plays good defense. He ends up with 22 and 14 in this game, but the Kings stayed in this game when they weren't, like, super efficient. And that's a credit to the rebounding. It's a credit to making sure to play with pace. They had moments where it wasn't great at times, but I felt like the effort was there. And, man, that's why it hurts.
Well, and we were even when we were talking about Zach LaVine being 1 of 7 from beyond the arc, you know, you give love to a lot more love to the Clippers defense. They were contesting so many of his shots, making shots harder for everyone. But then Zach LaVine's doing a fantastic job of taking it to the rack, being crafty, finishing around the rim. I just loved, like, for all the adjustments that this Clippers team kept making, I felt like the Kings were also making their adjustments, never losing sight of what they believed that they could do out there. And I'm telling you this because I just didn't feel this same way about this Kings team, obviously early on in the season, where it's just like maybe you'd get three quarters, but as soon as they lose it to a good team, it was like the giving up factor would come in.
Well, and one example is in the third quarter. Clippers start the third quarter on a 12-4 push, take a 63-54 lead, and you're like, okay, well, that was fun. That was cute.
Yep.
The Kings answered. By the end of the quarter, they're up 75-72. It was just a great run. And so there's a lot of good things tonight. I mean, you lost by 1 point. So, you know, you look back at almost like every little thing that happened, and you're just like, what the hell? It's tough.
Because that's the thing. We are ready to start this podcast you know, whether you want to call it nitpicking or whatever, we talk about some of those swing moments, whether it was that DeMar bad three that he took with however many seconds were left on the shot clock, to even
the missed, I don't know. I always hesitate to call it, like, but we both agree that should have, that call should have stood.
We're not the,
why can't I talk? Jesus.
We're not the only ones that think that too. And I don't think Kings fans are just saying that to say, like,
yeah,
oh, we got robbed with that. It's like, no, it was, it's, it was so obvious that that it has always been called, in my opinion, I a just, foul in basketball, not just in this league, in basketball. It's, yeah.
That it's just tough. Like, how do you overturn it then?
That's what I just don't understand. You called the foul because it was like an obvious foul. Like, there was no high five. Marginal contact on the hand. Like, bro, his arms were coming across. Yeah. And this is, by the way, a good defender who has been, was doing great all game long and had a moment. That's why the foul was called. Strange.
If you haven't done it yet, make sure to hit the thumbs up and subscribe. All it does is help our channel grow. If you guys are here, you guys are the true basketball sickos. You just saw your team lose in heartbreaking fashion, and you're here hanging out with us to kind of dissect what went down in this game tonight. Let's get to a couple of super chats. A $100 donation from Ricky. Just a Warriors fan.
Ricky.
Sending some love from San Jose. Tough loss tonight. Keep up the passion. Appreciate that.
Thank you so much. That's really kind of you.
Trying to make us feel better.
Yeah. What,
trying to buy
our
love.
What's up with that, Ricky?
Still don't like your team. And we hope they fall apart.
Hey.
Frauds.
Thank
kidding.
You.
Appreciate it, Ricky. Thanks for the support. Oleg donates $5 saying, that hurts. I would rather lose by 30.
No.
Get Stop
the
it.
Hell
get
out of here.
Out.
I'd rather feel.
Yeah, lose by 30. It's here. Man, the Kings in a big game got punked by 30. That'd be really uplifting and fun. Get out. What are we doing? Also, 4C Bar says, Tyler Ford is the worst ref in the NBA. Shots fired at Tyler Ford, man. Oh, man.
That's mean.
We got to mention that tonight's podcast, by the way, is presented by our friends over at Centivo Vineyards and Winery, Morgan Reagan.
Yeah, I could use a lot of those bottles right around now, but I can't because we have a game tomorrow that we will have to be getting ready for. But you can drink some Centivo wines, and you can go to CentivoVineyards.com to buy any of their bottles. It's some of the best wine ever. You can become a wine club member. You can go to their new tasting room coming up in spring 2025. And they're just the best people. They're Kings fans, and I'm sure that they're probably drinking up a lot of that wine tonight as well.
Appreciate their support of the Deuce and Mo podcast. Also presented by our friends for Golden One Credit Union. We are all one with Golden One. If you're a Golden One member, talk about perks. How about up to 50% off Kings home games, 15% off merch, and who knows what else can happen to you if you hold your Golden One credit card up when they tell you to at a Kings game. Maybe early access to Kings games as well. See shoot around. It's awesome. So go to GoldenOneCreditUnion.com. Golden One Credit Union, the official credit union of the Sacramento Kings. We are all one.
We're all one.
With Golden One.
We're thrilled to team up with Medic Ambulance, the trusted name in emergency medical services across Northern California.
Take me. My heart broke tonight.
Oh, no. Dun, 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 dun. Medic Ambulance. Medic Ambulance. They're not here right now. Okay. But you can go to medicambulance.net. Medic is the official emergency medical response partner of Sac Republic and Sac State Athletics. And like I said, learn more at medicambulance.net.
Appreciate everyone's support of the Deuce and Mo podcast. Okay, Morgan Reagan. Anything we missed tonight? How about Valanciunas? 9 points, 17 rebounds, 7 assists. He was just 3 of 10. He missed some good looks tonight. I wish he could have been more efficient. Zubats, again, credit to him.
Oh, what about Kawhi Leonard's block? Pin that shit on the backboard.
Dude, that was just such a big play in a key moment. What a scramble that was for Sacramento. Like, then DeMar gets the ball back. There's like 3 guys around him. Somehow gets it out to Laravia, who puts the ball on the floor, gets it back to DeRozan for that long, too. It was a great game.
It was a great game.
I mean,
if
you're not a fan of the Kings and Clippers, you just had this game on, you'd be like, dude, what a game on a Sunday night. And then that last shot by Kawhi at the end, man, it just, you saw the bounce. I'm like, oh my God, is it bouncing out? And you see it drop, and you're just like, dude,
you know what?
It hurts.
You know what I like too, though? It's not like the Kings, like, just, oh man, they were just playing good tonight. I love that we're having this stretch to really look at being like, okay, is this going to be this Kings roster I mean, obviously missing Monk and Sabonis, but going forward, is this going to be the way that we see them play night in and night out?
Well, good test coming up tomorrow night, too, because the Knicks are in town. Before we get to that, who would be your simply the best player of the game presented by Northwest Exteriors? We can each just have one tonight.
You know,
I don't
what? Okay,
I
fine. I'm going to go with Zach LaVine.
Interesting. Zach LaVine had 30 points today, 12 of 22 shooting, 1 of 7 from 3, 5 of 5 at the line. He also had 7 rebounds, a couple of dimes tonight.
I thought his ability to still take it to the rack, even when he was missing, really kept this team in it. It just also created chaos even for the Clippers defense, because I think they were expecting to put all that pressure along the perimeter because they knew that the Kings like to shoot a lot of threes, but they didn't even get to shoot as many threes as they wanted to tonight.
Yeah, he put the ball on the floor a couple of times and had that sweet reverse on the other side of the basket with Zubats on him. He attacked Zubats a few times and had some great finishes at the rim. It's tough for me because I wanted to give some love to Harden. I thought James was even engaged defensively. Jeff Van Gundy is like a second head coach for them. He's coaching the defense up the whole damn game. What a pickup for Ty Lue. But from a Kings perspective,
Keegan,
That's where I was leaning.
Good.
But I also like DeMar had such a good game.
Absolutely.
You know, I try not to let that one shot with 22 seconds to go stick with me, because before that he got fouled on the three. And in the overtime session, he was awesome. And then when he got to the line tonight, the guy made all his free throws. He was 12 of 12 at the line. So I think he's been playing better, and I think he's been playing with more pace too. He gets to his spots. He feels good with the ball late in the game, and he almost willed this team to a victory tonight. If you just back that foot up a little bit, hit some threes instead of the long twos, please. Stop. But here's why I'm going with Keegan Murray.
Why?
The Kings stayed in this game tonight because of the defense.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't knocking down shots left and right. And the defense he played on Kawhi Leonard, the physicality he played with on James Harden, Keegan Murray is an absolute stud. And he's finally realizing that, yes, I am physical on defense. I can do the same thing offensively.
Yes.
And I felt like that tonight. I feel like there's been a theme. He is being more aggressive, looking for a shot. There's no hesitation. I felt like there are times where he'd come off screens, get the ball, and he would not even look like a threat. He would be immediately looking to pass the ball and give up.
Like going through motions and robotic.
Dude, his eye is like, I'm going. I'm making a play.
It's not even an eye. Sometimes it's just he's catching and he's just squaring up his shoulders to shoot the ball. If you get it to him in the shooter's pocket and he feels like he has enough room, he knocked down 3 of 6. You're simply the best player of the game presented by Northwest Exteriors.
Yeah.
Simply the best. Trust Northwest.
They're celebrating their 30th anniversary. Go to northwestexteriors.com. Check out the deals for yourself. Windows are a game changer. Morgan Reagan next up for the Kings. They take on the New York Knicks, who have been chilling. They've been chilling they lost to the Clippers in L.A. the other day.
Yeah, on the 7th.
So they're in Sacramento resting. Well, Sacramento tonight, LaVine played 44 minutes. Valanciunas played 42. When's the last time JV played 42 minutes in a game?
And he's the only big that you have.
Murray played 48 in this game. DeRozan, 44.
What do you do?
And the Knicks obviously pose a lot of danger. We saw this Knicks team put it like 143 on Sacramento in a 143-120 win in New York in late January. Also, that was a different squad. It's just like tonight. It was not the same squad they threw out against the Clippers when they got punked in November twice by this team.
100%. I'm just very nervous what we are going to see tomorrow, even without Jalen Brunson. And you just know what Josh Hart can do when it comes to crashing the board. I mean, like, that. You're going to be so fatigued physically, but how do you figure it out mentally to just be like, I need to lock in and get my body on that human being?
Yeah, but Brunson is the guy that, one, he kills almost everybody, but specifically, I feel like he destroys the Kings.
He does.
Like, he is a Kings killer.
Yep.
And him being out is huge. They're still trying to navigate that. Like, okay, Deuce McBride is starting for them. It's just different. I've also seen Deuce McBride get hot. He was not hot in the loss to the Clippers the other night. But the Knicks have size and length, you know, with OG and Cat and Bridges. And you mentioned Hart's just ferociousness. It's tough, especially when you just play it on the second half back-to-back. That's where you just got to go, who cares? You know, maybe you get Monk back tomorrow. Maybe. I don't know. There's a chance, I guess. Maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe.
I'm not going to count on that.
Yeah, don't count on
because
it.
Because if anything, they bring him back later in the week on Thursday when they play the Warriors. So this week is crazy. Then they play the Suns on the back-to-back. Two back-to-backs this week. But I don't. You got to use the energy from the crowd tomorrow night. The crowd should be hot. I think they appreciate how this team has been playing recently.
They do.
And you got to just figure it out. It's part of the schedule. This is, you're playing for something. This is all you have left.
I know.
You're pretty much in the stretch one. Excuse me.
Ew.
It just happened. What do you want me to do? I caught myself.
I mean, yeah, no, I get it.
You're pretty much in the stretch run of the season here. This is it.
Yeah.
All right. We got to come together.
Hey, it's not November 9th.
Yeah.
It's March 9th.
I know. Well, I've already seen some people in the chat like, okay, there's no moral victories. We've got to stop that. It's one of those, the tired things I hear from people. Again, you can compliment things that happened in a loss without going, it's a moral victory tonight.
Oh, I
don't think I've ever subscribed to moral victories in my life. I'm a big picture guy where it's like, hey, you can't accept in victory what you wouldn't accept in defeat. And the other quote that I think, was it?
What?
James Naismith, I think, said that, the inventor of basketball. Dr. James Naismith. Isn't it James Naismith? Am I sleepy?
I could tell that wasn't you confidently saying it. I feel like you're right, but I mean, I just had to have coffee.
Yes, it's James Naismith. Okay. I got so scared. I'm like, oh my God, did I just butcher that? Anyway, Dr. James Naismith, the inventor of the game, says, you know what? Sometimes there could be good shit and bad outcomes.
Did he say that? Like that?
Yeah. Back in the day.
Wow.
Yeah, sometimes there could be good shit with bad outcomes.
I mean, it's
you know?
It's very true, but also, like, here's how I always look at, and I always tell Deuce this. I understand very much, because we are also fans, that the pulse of the feelings and when people hate refs and when people are sad and when people are mad and all these different things. What I've always told Deuce, I'm never going to give a shit, and I'm always going to give my genuine feelings of what I feel in that time and everything. And I even did it on the post game show, and I was like super depressed coming in. And then two segments later, I'm like, you know, I've processed a little. I'm feeling good. Deuce shoved me back down with whatever he had to say. It's March. And so, like, even here, like, I feel this way. Yeah. And that is how I'm going to express myself, and how you express yourself. And you feel like someone saying a moral victory and all that. Totally
sure.
Okay. Do what you want to do.
I am seeing, and just to be fair, I'm seeing much more in the chat. And I like to see what the chat's thinking sometimes, but there's a
You're
lot of people
only pulse we care about.
Who listen to us and watch us who don't chat. They just sit back and like watch the show.
Absolutely.
But I'm also seeing a lot of like, hey, like even after that Warriors, aside from the Warriors loss, post All-Star break, it's been really good. Like, you've seen some really good stuff from this group without some key guys.
Sure.
And so you got to build on it. You know, I'm looking at one thing I want to mention too in this game that I liked is in the second quarter, they give up 9 fast break points in the second quarter. Okay. 9 in the quarter.
Jeez.
They give up 2 the rest of the game. And so, like, I felt like defensively, there are moments, lulls in a game, like almost every game, but this group is competing and they are fighting and they have to just keep fighting
and adjusting. In-game adjustments.
We got to go to another level here, though.
Crank it.
This week,
no,
the Knicks, the Warriors, and the Suns.
Jesus.
Right?
It's going to be.
It's a home game tough. Going on the road, taking on the Warriors team. If you want a chance to still get in that sixth spot, got to win that game. Then the next night, you got to go to Phoenix. That's a team that's making a push or trying to, because the Mavs are all banged up.
Yeah, it's kind of like you said. I keep going back and forth where I'm like, oh, my gosh, they're going to be so tired tomorrow, blah, blah. And it's like, I don't give a shit. You can't be tired. You have to figure it out. You get 2 days off, 2 whole days off, no games. And then you get another back-to-back.
Man, I just want to look through my notes. You know me. I don't like to miss anything here. I'm looking back at the fourth quarter. Man. Yeah, the Keegan Murray perimeter defense on Kawhi forced him into a tough turnover. He just threw the ball away. Love seeing that.
We already
Keegan defense on hard enforcing a turnover. Keegan hit the big three to put the Kings up 95-88.
Yeah.
God, they should have won the game, Morgan. Man. Oh, here's another sequence I didn't like. 102-99, and the Kings were passing up so many good looks, and they end up getting a 3-second violation. That was one offensive possession in the game where I'm like, God, just shoot the ball. Someone shoot the ball. Look, don't pass up shots. We got a good, and they've done a much better job of doing that in totality, but in that specific moment, not a good job.
It was one of those moments where I totally was just full blown, like, really, Rams, you're gonna call that time? Everyone's sitting in the, like, I was just being so petty and weird, but I was just like, it's just, that was one of the worst turnovers you could see in that moment.
Mm-mm-mm.
I know.
All right, let's get to some final thoughts, Morgan, because we are in San Francisco right now. We still have to get back to Sacramento, and there's a game tomorrow night.
What Kings, am I going to wear?
And also, we have a podcast after that. 4 games and 4 nights between Sacramento and Stockton. Don't you love this shit?
I do. I really do. Because then when I don't have it in the
ball
summer,
is life.
Like, I miss
ball
it.
Is life.
So that's why it's like the Kings. We have to make sure that, like, everything is great. You got to make sure to just bounce back, fatigue, physically, all the different things, lock in, be great. And that's how I feel about going into tomorrow night. You lost this one. You move on. You rest up on the plane, probably barely get any sleep in your bed.
Here's the good news.
What?
It's a quick flight. They're probably almost home now.
They're probably home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So get to bed. This is kind of normal hours you get to bed after a home game anyway.
Yeah.
Get in bed. Get ready to go. Sleep in a little bit tomorrow. There's no shoot around. It's a back-to-back. Get to the arena. Get ready to go. And hopefully you knock down shots. Someone in the chat, I think, just mentioned this. Matthew was like, hey, DeRozan and LaVine combined for 2 for 14 from 3 tonight. 2 for 14.
Yeah.
You lost by 1. So lock into the details tomorrow. I need some physicality. I need energy. Everyone, go get Doug Christie smelling salts. Give it a whiff.
Oh, I need those.
You at home watching us. You tomorrow morning. Lock in. The sun is going to be up later. Doesn't that excite you?
Yeah. Oh, I see. Like
into the day.
Yeah. That
should give you some more energy. Like,
we're usually in the arena, though.
It doesn't matter. Have you seen the big doors at the arena? You're going to see the sun around 7 o'clock around tip-off.
Really?
It's going to be so light out. It doesn't matter, Morgan. It's not the point. The point is this. That when the sun is up later for me,
what does it do
for you? I get more energy because I start thinking about warm weather, staying up late.
That's what it does for you? I love that. Oh, no.
Okay, sorry. You want the sunset at 4:30? Be cold? No. We're going to be warm tomorrow night. The sun's out. We're feeling the good Sacramento weather. We got the smelling salts, and we are going to lock in. The Knicks are in town. They dropped 143 on us. We are not letting that happen. We're knocking down threes tomorrow night. We're pushing the pedal to the metal. No Jalen Brunson to worry about. This is our time. This is March. Use the energy from 18,000 in the building tomorrow night and bring it. The best part about tonight, you got a game tomorrow because you get to lose that feeling. Use what happened in this game as fuel for the fire. Let's go. Seriously, appreciate you guys so much for hanging out with us. Sorry for the condensed podcast because obviously we got to get back to Sacramento. We appreciate you guys so much for hanging out with us tonight. We love you guys. I also want to note one thing. Sorry, one more thing, Morgan. If there's anything we missed, things that you think we should have talked about, things you want to talk about, drop it in the YouTube comments after the show. That also helps our page grow. We love you guys so, so, so much, but we gots to go.
You all have a wonderful rest of your night. We'll see you tomorrow night, and hopefully we're seeing you with some fog. See ya.
Let's go.
Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, they tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.